that you can't lie to the Holy Ghost. You cannot lie to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit knows everything about you tonight. But tonight, what I want to go from that, I want to go where the great fear came upon the church and when the Holy Spirit takes control of your life. Tonight, I want to ask you before we get started, does the Holy Spirit, now I want you to answer this, not publicly but privately tonight, does the Holy Spirit have control of your life? You can be saved and not, and the Holy Spirit not have control of your life. You say, no, I don't believe that, preacher. I believe if you're saved, the Holy Spirit, He's big enough. He takes control. He rules me. He reigns over me. Hey, let me give you this tonight. You can override the Holy Spirit. You can override that Holy Spirit. You can go against what that Spirit is telling you to do tonight. But tonight I want to ask you a question. Does the Holy Spirit of heaven have complete control of your life? I want you to think about that tonight, going into Christmas. Does the Holy Spirit have complete control of your life? Complete control. Not partial, not a little bit, but complete control. Tonight I want to show you in this text how you will know if the Holy Spirit has complete control of your life. If He don't tonight, I'd say this. When I left this place, I'd make sure I gave Him complete control of my life tonight. Tonight, Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 11, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. Last week, you can't lie to the Holy Spirit, and this week, the Holy Spirit takes control. When you don't lie to Him and you let Him have it, He will take control of a person's life. Acts 5, verse number 11, the Bible says, "And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. And then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation or envy." Our Heavenly Father God, as we bow in Your presence tonight, I thank You for this Christmas season. I thank You tonight for the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank You tonight, Father God, that we can come into this place and we can just lift up the name of Jesus. I thank You tonight that You've sent the Holy Spirit tonight to be our comforter tonight. I thank You tonight that He can be in control of our life tonight, Father. But I do know this tonight, for Him to be in control of my life, I have to be under His subjection tonight. I have to be under His control tonight, Father. Lord, I have to be under what He wants me to do tonight. And Lord, I pray tonight as we study this Word and we examine ourselves tonight, that we look into the Scripture and we see tonight if we are being led by the Holy Spirit, if we're under His complete control tonight. Father, there's prayer requests all over this room tonight, and I pray tonight that You touch every need, everyone that is sick, everyone that had to stay home. I pray You touch them and bless them in a mighty way. Father, I pray tonight for Sister Callista as she goes in Friday for surgery, Lord. I pray tonight, Father God, that You just help her in a mighty way there. Calm her nerves, give her rest, Father, as she waits on that day. Lord, all over this room tonight, the other ones that are mentioned, Lord, I pray tonight You touch them, You move on them. And Lord God, tonight, that You bless us throughout this Christmas season. And let us just keep our mind on You and the love that You have for us. And I thank You tonight for the control of the Holy Spirit. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. The Holy Spirit takes control. As we come here tonight and we look into verse number 11, the Word of God says that great fear came upon the church. When did that fear come upon the church? Is when the Spirit of God took control over that place. You know, tonight when the Spirit of God takes over a place, you'll know when it takes over. It'll take over in a mighty way. It'll come in and it'll move in a mighty way. And you say tonight, preacher, what happens when the Holy Spirit takes control? Does everybody get on board? Does everybody love it when the Spirit of God takes over a service? I wished I could report to you tonight that everybody loves when the Holy Spirit takes over. I wished I could report to you tonight that everybody gets excited when the Holy Ghost of heaven takes over a service. I wished I could report to you tonight that when the Holy Spirit takes over a person's life and He tries to take that life over, that everybody gets excited. Hey, but tonight as we look at the text, not everybody gets excited when the Spirit of God takes over. You know what it does when a cold church, when the Spirit of God sits down inside of a cold place? It makes people get uneasy. It makes them get nervous. It makes them get clammy. It makes them get out of their comfort zone tonight. When the Holy Spirit shows up, it'll no longer be cold, but it'll be on fire. When the Holy Spirit of heaven shows up, it'll no longer be calloused and have calamity amongst us, but hey, we'll be on fire and loving people. And tonight, when the Holy Spirit takes over, not everybody loves it tonight. If you'll look with me tonight in verse number 13, if you would, I want to look at this before we get into seeing if the Holy Spirit has control of our life. And I want you to look at this tonight. When the Spirit of God takes over, not everybody likes it. Look what He says in verse number 13. And of the rest, there's no man join himself to them. And that word tonight, rest, would be this. It would refer to unbelievers tonight. And some of the unbelievers, they didn't join themselves unto what the Spirit of God was doing. He didn't join themselves unto what God was wanting to do. And what did they do? They distanced themselves from the apostles. They got as far away as they could from the Word of God and from the teaching of the Word of God. They got scared of it, if you would. And tonight, as we study this tonight, the Holy Spirit is not a person that we're supposed to be scared of. Hey, but we must accept Him and love Him and reverence Him and let Him lead us in our life. Hey, tonight, the Holy Spirit of heaven, He is our guide tonight. He is our controller tonight. He is the one that takes care of all things tonight. And how do we know when we're under that Holy Spirit tonight, or He takes control of our life tonight? I asked you that question when we started. How do you know if you're under the Spirit of God tonight and let Him control your life? I don't know about you tonight, but I thank God that He controls my life. Can I get an amen? Hey, when I get out of line, He puts me back in line. When I get out of the wheel, He puts me back in the wheel. And tonight, I want to look very quickly tonight as four ways that you can know that you're under the Spirit of God tonight. And this is ways that you can know, the Bible says tonight, that you're under the Spirit of God tonight. I love this tonight. Number one, we'll look in verse number 12. Hey, here's number 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought about many people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. They were all in one accord tonight. And I see tonight, I want to give you this. Number one way that you know that the Holy Spirit has control of your life tonight, number one is that we walk in the Spirit. We walk in the way the Spirit leads us tonight. The Bible says, if you'll turn with me there to Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 25, when these apostles and they all come together tonight, they was walking in the Spirit. There was no division. They was all in one accord, and they was all in unity tonight. I thank God tonight for this church that we're all in one accord and we're all in unity. Can I get an amen? In Galatians chapter number 5 tonight, if you'll look with me in verse number 25, I thank God for this word tonight that He gives us here, that we walk in the Spirit tonight. When they got here, not everybody was walking in the Spirit. Them unbelievers, they did not want the Spirit of God to lead them in their life. You know what the Spirit will do when you walk in the Spirit? He won't let you walk the way that you want to walk when you get under His submission tonight. He leads you in the way that you should go. And He says tonight in Galatians chapter number 5, in verse number 25, the Bible says, if we live in the Spirit, if you're going to live in the Spirit and let the Spirit lead you tonight, let us also walk in that Spirit. If we're going to be what God has called us to be and do what God has called us to do, number one, we must walk in the Spirit. We must be in one accord. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in that Spirit tonight. But look with me also in the same text in Galatians chapter number 5 in verse number 16, talking about walking in the Spirit, walking where the Lord would have you to walk. Here's what the Bible says in Galatians 5 in verse number 16. I love this tonight, what the Bible says. If we're going to walk in that Spirit tonight, is it easy to walk in the Spirit? It ain't easy to walk in the Spirit when you're battling the Spirit, but when you're under the control of the Spirit, it's easy to walk in the Spirit. Amen? Look what He says tonight in Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Tonight, if there's fleshly things in your life that is hindering your walk with Christ Jesus, the only way you're going to get over fleshly things in this world is by walking in the Spirit tonight. We must walk in the Spirit of God tonight, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says in verse number 12 of the text, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. They got to the place that they was in one accord. And I want to say to you tonight, when we walk in the Spirit, and in this place tonight, when we walk in the Spirit, I want to give you this tonight in verse number 14. I love this tonight. When you walk in the Spirit, there's a mathematical equation that comes in. Hey, tonight, can I say to you tonight, the same one that'll add to a church, he'll subtract from a church. He has the ability tonight to add, and he has the ability to subtract tonight. And when we walk in the Spirit tonight, if a church is not in unity, they're not in one accord, and they're not loving on one another, don't never expect for there to be an addition in that local body. If there's going to be an addition, we have to be in one mind and one accord and let the Holy Ghost have complete control of our life. Look what happened tonight when they all was in one accord and they was walking in the Spirit. They was getting along, if you would. The Holy Spirit had took control. Look in verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord. What happened when they got in one accord? They was an addition to the church. There was a mathematical equation there. They started adding to the church. God started adding what they needed. God started putting in what they needed in that place. Look what he says. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. This is the first time that Dr. Luke, he has come here and he added the word women here. If you remember, he would be talking, if you go back to the Gospel of Luke, he said he fed 5,000. He talked about not counting the women and children, but here he said he added them to the church. How gracious it is and how godly it is for men and women to worship together. Amen? Hey, that the husband and wife, they worship together in the same place and they walk in the same Spirit. I told my wife today, and me and her was talking, if me and her's not pulling in the same direction, we're pulling against one another and it will not work. Friends, I want you to know at this church, we must walk in the Spirit and let the Spirit have control of everything here. And when we walk in that Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I thank God tonight that my flesh tonight can be under control by the Spirit of God tonight. Can't you? Hey, I don't have control over my flesh. If I did what my flesh wanted to do, I would be out in the world. Amen? But the Spirit of God has control over your flesh if you'll let Him have it. Let Him have that tonight. I see number one tonight in the text in verse 13, 12, 13, and 14 that we walk in the Spirit. When they walked in the Spirit, there was unity. There was unity. They was loving one another. Everything was going great when the Spirit of God took control. You know what? When the Spirit of God sits down in a place, it'll bring fear upon people. You think about Ananias and Sapphira here when they come in and they had lied to the Holy Ghost and they had died. You think about when somebody told a lie, if somebody lied in this place and you fell over dead. You know what? Next person wouldn't be lying. Just saying. You're talking about fear come on to church. You're talking about fear come on somebody. Hey, I want you to know we serve that same God today. We don't serve no other God. We serve that same God today. And today what I want you to know is we must be truthful with one another. We must love one another. And we must walk in that Spirit as God has called us to walk in the Spirit. When they got to lying, it was going to make discord and division. He said, we're not going to have that. He's not going to be a part of that. So number one, we walk in the Spirit because who He is. But number two, I see in verse number 15, not only do we walk in the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit's got control of your life, you must walk in the Spirit. Number two, we must not grieve the Holy Spirit. Not only do we walk in the Spirit, but we must not grieve it. You know what? You can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Look in verse number 15, they did not grieve the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of God started working, they did not grieve that Holy Spirit. They allowed it to do what it needed to do in the local body there. Look in verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. When they got here, you know what they did? They let the Holy Spirit have lead. These men started using what God had given them. He'd give them gifts of laying on of hands. They laid on of hands. People started being healed. People started being well. The sick got healed. The ones that had unclean spirits, they come out of them. And I want you to know tonight, I thank God for that in that time that He called that when apostles was there and they was laying on the hands. But you know what? Tonight, we don't walk by sight no more. We walk by faith and not by sight tonight. I want you to know tonight, there's not a man alive, and you listen to this tonight, and please don't take this wrong. Quench not the Spirit, grieve not the Spirit. Ephesians 4:20, the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. When these men came here and they were laying on hands and people were being healed, the Jews required a sign. They wanted a sign. They had to see something to believe. Friends, tonight I want you to know we don't have to see something to believe. We walk by faith and not by sight. You say, preacher, do you believe that people still have the power to walk up and put hands on and heal that person? I tell you tonight, I do not believe that one minute in my life. There's not no power that lies in me. I don't have the power to lay on. I don't have the power to heal the sick tonight. If I did, I'd be at La Bonner. I'd be at St. Jude's. And I'd lay on every one of them kids tonight. Well, where does healing come from tonight? By faith in God alone. Hey, tonight, if I had healing power tonight, I'd get glory. I'd get fame. I'd get popularity tonight. But I want you to know tonight, if there's healing comes through any prayer that I pray over somebody tonight, it won't be because of me. It'll be because of God. Amen? Here, they required a sign. And the Greeks, you know what? They wanted wisdom. But we walk by faith and not by sight. What I don't understand is people say they got power to heal and they go around healing who they want to. Why not come heal some of my loved ones? Can I get an amen? Hey, if you can lay on hands and do all that, why is people still dying? Hey, why is people still lame? Why is people still in this shape tonight? I want you to know tonight we walk by faith and not by sight tonight. Amen? If we didn't, we would be looking for a miracle on every corner tonight. And when it didn't come through, we'd think God is a failure. I got good news tonight. God's not a failure and the Holy Ghost is still in control. Amen? So let me back this up now. Let me back this up. Nobody get crazy on me right here. Why do we still anoint and still pray? Because we still got a God in heaven. And we pray to Him. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. We want His will to be done. In the model prayer, He says, not my will, but thy will. Friends, I want you to know when we pray that and we ask, here they said that the shadow might pass by. The shadow might pass by of Peter, might pass by them. It didn't say it did. It didn't say it hit them. It didn't do that. It said that it might pass by. Tonight, what I want you to know is, if we walk in the Spirit and we grieve not the Spirit of God, we'll see things that we can't even explain in the local body church. But it won't be because of you and I. It'll be because we're yielded to the Spirit of God. Tonight, I want you to get that very, very plainly tonight. I want to share that with you tonight by being in the Spirit of God tonight. I know people, and you may know people. Man, I'm telling you what, I've heard some people that I know, and they say, man, I've got the power of healing, and I got the power of laying on of hands, and I've got all this, and that's all good and fine. But here's my thing is, why do you choose who you go to? They didn't choose who they went to. They was brought to them. And tonight, what I'm trying to tell you is if we'll walk in the Spirit, and we'll grieve not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will do what we can't do. And tonight, I just want to leave that with you tonight. Number one, we walk in the Spirit. Number two, we grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. As we get to this text tonight, he says this also, and we quench not the Holy Spirit. We quench not the Holy Spirit of God. We quench not the Holy Spirit of God. Tonight, if there's one thing in a local body that will interrupt what God's wanting to do is when we quench the Spirit of God tonight. Amen? When we quench that Spirit tonight. And I want to show you this tonight, if you will, in verse number 17. And I told you to start with, I wished I could tell you that everybody loved it when the Spirit of God was moving. But when the Spirit moves, nobody gets credit. Ain't that good? When the Spirit moves, nobody gets credit. When the Spirit moves, nobody can claim that they did this or they did that or whatever, because they didn't do it. Who did it? The Spirit. The Spirit of God. I go back to people that's in this church that we've had the opportunity to the elders lay on hands. And by the way, he says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'll give you this tonight. The effectual fervent prayer availeth much. What does it avail? The hand of God. That prayer does. When you pray to God and ask God to move. But I think about people all over this church that's had a healing and God's touched them and healed them. I think about that all over this church. And when they stand and they testify, you know what they testify? Jesus Christ. He touched me. But I think about the people all of this church we've prayed for. And they left this walk of life. But God still touched them. Tonight, He is still faithful if the healing comes here or if it comes over yonder. Amen? So tonight, I want to give you the third thing. Number one, we walk in the Spirit. That's how you know if you're being led by the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. Number two, you grieve not the Holy Spirit in verse 15. You do not grieve the Holy Spirit. But number three, you quench not the Holy Spirit. And I say that to say this. I wish I could tell you everybody loves when the Spirit of God moves in, but they don't. They don't love it when the Spirit of God moves in. I want to give you this in verse number 17. How I know that tonight is by the text, by what the Bible says tonight when the Spirit of God moves in. Then the high priest rose up. The high priest, what did he do? He rose up. And all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, That's the Sadducees. Every one of them, they rose up, and here's what they did. They had indignation. They had enviness. And they didn't like what was going on. They didn't like what was happening. They didn't like what was taking place. And what did they do? They took the men of God and they locked them up and they quenched the Spirit of God. They quenched that spirit. They grieved it. They quenched it. And tonight that can happen in a local body church. I want to give you this. You can write this down as well if you're taking notes. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. I want to give you this tonight. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, to quench not the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, the Bible so it says, quench not the Spirit. To quench not that Spirit. When that Spirit quickens you and that Spirit moves on you tonight, do not quench that Spirit of God. Let that Spirit do what it needs to do in your life. Let it come alive in your life. Let it be that source in your life that you need tonight. Let it be that lifeline that you need tonight. Let it be what you've got, that guide tonight that's in your life. You say, well, preacher, I don't have a lot to do. I'm not very important. I don't have a big role. I don't have a lot to do. And I think about what I heard Billy Graham say, and I heard this in one of his messages, and it's so true, about how God uses little things and how even we use little things and we don't notice it. You can write the biggest check you want to and stick it in the mailbox at your house, and without that little postage stamp, it won't go nowhere. You can put $1 million in that and leave the postage off, and Sister Stephanie's not picking it up. She can't. There's no authority on it. No way to ship it. 50-something cents is keeping it from going through. You know what? And as little as that stamp is, all it does is lick, stick, and it goes. It stays where it's supposed to stay. It does what it's supposed to do. No matter what that stamp is, when you buy that stamp will always ship. It's always worth what it's supposed to be. It's always on there. It always does its job. Tonight, can I say to you tonight, if we don't pray in the Spirit and ask God to move, no matter what kind of prayer request we got tonight, no matter what we got, we say, God, you got to show me. You got to prove to me. That's not faith tonight. Faith tonight says, God, I don't know how you're going to answer. I don't know when you're going to answer. I don't know what's going to happen, but I got faith tonight. I'm going to put the Holy Spirit's attachment to this, and I'm going to send it on. I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to ask God to move. I'm going to send it straight on to heaven. I'm going to ask Him to do what He's going to do. I'm not going to get envious. I'm not going to have indignation. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get sad. I'm going to believe that you're going to touch it, and you're going to move on it. In your time, you're going to do that, and we're going to send it on. And tonight, I believe tonight, when you put that seal on there, as little as we think the Holy Spirit is, and we do, there's a lot of times we think the Holy Spirit is this little, but the Holy Spirit is huge. Amen? That's the Spirit of God that directs us tonight. And when we let the Holy Spirit take our prayer, and we let that Holy Spirit, and we pray in that Spirit, and we ask God to move on it, and in the name of Jesus, we send that prayer to heaven. I want you to know tonight, it is recorded, and His will be done on that prayer tonight. Well, why do we pray? Why do we keep praying? Why do we keep asking tonight? Because we have faith that God's going to move on what we pray. Amen? If He didn't, why pray? That's why we pray tonight. So I see, number one tonight, if I want to be in the will of God, number one, I am going to have to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to have to walk in it. I can't do it no other way. I got to walk in that Spirit. Number two, I see tonight that I cannot grieve the Holy Spirit. I got to do what He asks me to do. I got to. And number three tonight, I must not quench the Holy Spirit. I must be receptive to what the Spirit of God tells me to do in my life. Let me give you this tonight in this text. What will happen tonight is if we don't do this tonight. I just wrote this down. I wrote this down in my notes. I just want to share this with you as I was studying. Some folks' only job, their only job in the church, is to quench the Holy Spirit. Their only job that they've got is to quench the Holy Spirit. That's their only job. When they come in, if it ain't like they like it, if it ain't the way they want it, their number one job is to make sure when there's a fire burning, they quench it, throw a blanket over it, and wet it down. Here, this high priest, when he come in, you know what he said? He had one job to do when he got there. The Sadducees, you know what he had? He had one job to do when he got there, and that was make sure that fire didn't spread and it got put out. Can I say to you tonight, if there's a fire burning in this place for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's not my job to put it out. Amen? If there's a fire going on in a Baptist church, you better let it blaze and you better let it burn, because it's harder to start a fire than it is to put it out. It don't take much to put one out, but it takes a lot to start one. And tonight, some people's only job is this, is to quench the Holy Spirit. That's their job. They really believe that if it gets out of hand, how are we going to get it back into control? Tonight, if this place gets out of hand for Jesus, let it get out of hand. Amen? Let me give you this tonight. Oh, glory. I wrote this down. And as we get in this text tonight, we know about Ananias and Sapphira coming in here. I wrote this down. Some folks' only job is to quench the Spirit. I'm going to tell you all this. We good tonight? Everybody happy? I went to a church and preached one time. A revival. Started on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And people started getting saved. Not because I was there, not because I was preaching, just the Spirit of God was moving. And I went in on Tuesday night, and me and the pastor done talked. They're going to baptize them on Wednesday. That's what they're going to do. They got 8 candidates already from Sunday to Tuesday. And they're going to baptize on Wednesday night. And I walk into church that night, and I'm looking around, and I don't see the pastor nowhere. And I look at my watch, and man, it's getting close to game time. You know, it's time to start preaching. He still ain't come out. Well, it ain't long. He comes out back with a couple of his deacons, and he comes out, and he sits down on the front pew beside me, and man, I'm happy. Man, what's going on? You doing good? You excited for tonight? Yeah, it's going to be good. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, it's going to be great. Nothing. I said, okay. Preached that night, and 3 more get saved. We're total about 11 people at this moment fixing to get baptized. After service that night, I said, hey, man, you going to go grab a bite to eat? Man, we might ought to talk. He said, yeah. I said, what's up? What's wrong with you? He said, well, tonight before you preach, my deacons wanted to call a meeting with you. I said, call a meeting with me? He said, yeah, by what you've been preaching. I said, by what I've been preaching? What are you talking about? He said, people ain't supposed to get saved but on Sunday. And y'all's look the same as my look. And I got one more night to go. You get what I'm saying? What are they trying to do? They're trying to quench what the Holy Spirit's doing. They're trying to quench what the Spirit of God is doing. You say, preacher, you're crazy. That don't happen. I could call names, but I'm not going. That's what happens. I'm telling you now, when their authority gets asserted and it gets over what they're used to doing, it bothers them. It bothers them. And here's what happened. I told him, he said, when they want to call you in a meeting, I said, no, they don't want to call me in a meeting. Now, they may want to call a meeting, but they don't want me to come in a meeting. Because when God is saving, he can save on Monday. He can save, can I get an amen? He can save on, how do you know he can save on a Tuesday? Because I was born again on a Tuesday. He can save on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He can save anytime he wants to, anybody he wants to, any place he wants to, if he wants to do it. Amen? And man, I'm telling you what, the next night we had baptismal service, and 3 of them deacons didn't come to that baptismal service. Why? Because the Spirit of God, they didn't want it to have its free will in that place. So what I'm trying to tell you tonight, let me give you this. Here's some folks' jobs only to quench the Spirit. Backbiting, arguing, fussing in a church will rob folks of the peace of God. It will. It'll rob folks of the power of God because he has the authority to be our helper. And when you refuse help, what do? You're on your own. Tonight I go in a lot of churches where they're on their own. I'm telling you. Sister Kim, you go to Broken Lives. A lot of times you go, they're on their own. When you walk in, you know the Spirit's been quenched. You know it's been grieved. You know there's no walking in the Spirit. It's been grievous when you go into that place. If there's one thing I don't want to happen here, I don't want it to get grievous. And I don't want it to get quenched. I want it to stay on fire. Amen? So the third thing tonight, 1, walk in the Spirit. 2, grieve not the Spirit of God. 3, quench not the Spirit. But the fourth thing that I see that I in here, that old Peter and them, the man they had going on, is that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen to me now. Even if somebody tries to quench your fire, it's your responsibility to make sure you stay filled with the Holy Ghost. If it's your responsibility to stay on fire. It's not the Spirit. It's not the Spirit's job to keep you on fire. It's your job to stay on fire. He'll give you all the fire you want. He'll give you all the joy, the peace, all that you want. But you got to want it. And you got to get under his control, under his leadership and his authority to get what he's wanting to give you tonight. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 tonight. Ephesians 5, verse 18. I love this tonight. Ephesians 5, 18. Ephesians 5, 18. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled. If you're full, can anything else go in? Can't, can it? It can't when you're full. When you're full, nothing else can get in. You're full. That's what I love about this place. Man, Sunday morning was amazing. And that's a little bitty word to even use. I can't even put a word on how great Sunday morning was. And the Spirit of God, how he just moved freely through this place. How he moved freely. It touched my heart, I'm telling you. But Ephesians 5, 18, this is what the Bible says. And be not drunk with wine. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But be filled with the Spirit. Tonight, the cares of this world will drag you down. The burdens of this world will drag you down. The things of this world will drag you down if you do not stay filled with the Spirit of God. Tonight, as your pastor, I want you to stay on fire. I'm talking about on fire. I want you to stay on fire. I don't want you to dwindle down. I don't want you to get down to coals or ashes. I want you to stay on fire with a flame burning. There's things in this life that will drag you down if you'll let it. And if there's somebody had the opportunity to let their flame dwindle, it was here. They're getting locked up for preaching and teaching the Word of God. That's all they're doing is telling how good God is. And look with me tonight, and look what he says in verse 18. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go. Tonight, no matter what goes on, the rest of this year and next year, you make sure that flame's burning wide open in your life. You make sure tonight that flame is burning wide open in your life. Make sure your light's not dim. Make sure it's not burning out. Make sure it's not going out. Make sure it stays on fire. Here they was letting the Spirit of God control them, lead them, and guide them in every area of their life. I want to give you what I wrote down. My prayer, this is what I wrote down, and God has just spoke to me in my heart. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit, this rest of this year and the coming new year, 12 more months. Here's my heart. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit has complete control of my life and the life of every member of this church. Our church row was this long. Our church row, I looked at it today, is around 300. Sister Missy, you can correct me if you're wrong, between 360 and 390. That's the church row. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit has complete control of my life and every member of this church's life. That's the ones that's here. That's the ones that's not here. That's the ones that's active. And that's the ones that's non-active. That's my heart. Let me give you this. In every person that sits on a pew in this place, I pray that they're under the control of the Holy Spirit. I pray they're under the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And anything or anyone, including myself, listen to this tonight. Anything or anyone, including myself, that would grieve or quench the Holy Spirit would either get right or get gone. Move them. I told you when we started, there's unity here. Man, it's wonderful, great, peaceful. Love. But it's about that close in any church. I don't care where you're at, because why? We're people. We're people. And when the Spirit starts getting in your business, that old nitpicker, he starts getting in your business, and he starts digging in places that you really don't want him to dig, but he gets to digging, we get uncomfortable. And we get to a place where we don't want him to dig. I seen in here, I told you there was a mathematical equation. There was an addition. There was multiplication in there. There was also subtraction, some left. And then at the end, in verse 17, there was a division. They didn't want what was going on. My prayer is this, that whoever God sends this way in this new year, whoever it may be, that when they walk in these doors, that they're letting the Holy Spirit do what he needs to do in their life. I pray for every person on a pew in here that the Holy Spirit uses me, he uses you, he moves on us every which way he can. And when I get to that place that I don't let the Holy Spirit move me, I either want to get right. Right? That's your prayer, get right. But if I ain't going to get right, I don't want to stand in your way, Hagin. Natalie, I don't want to stand in your way. I don't want to hinder your walk with Christ. Sister Savannah, I don't want to hinder your walk with Christ. I don't. I either want to get right or I want to get gone. Tonight, that's my prayer, that the Holy Spirit in this coming up year just continue to lead this church in a mighty, mighty way. When you're under the Spirit of God and he's leading you, you're the most happiest person that you can be. But you take a child of God that ain't under the control of the Holy Spirit, they're the most miserablest person you'll ever meet in your life. When you quench him, when you grieve him, and when you're not walking with him, you're miserable. Tonight, my prayer is from now until whenever the Lord comes back, that I and you be found walking in the Spirit. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. I thank you for the word that you've given us. Father God, I thank you tonight that all power, all authority does not lie in me. What a blessing. What a stress relief. Ooh, glory. Man, what a burden that would be. But all power and all authority lies in you. And Lord, I'm asking you tonight to just move on our hearts. Let us just always be found walking in the Spirit and not grieving Him, not quenching Him, but being filled with the Spirit. And Lord, I pray as we go into this coming up weekend, Father, the birth of Jesus Christ, Sunday morning, there as we celebrate that, Lord, I pray it just be a time that we reflect back. Lord God, we just celebrate like never before. Lord, I want to thank you for the services that we have here. I want to thank you that the Spirit meets with us. I want to thank you that it's been a great move, and I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that it never be said when somebody rides by this place that the Spirit of God used to be there. Father, I pray for years to come that when anybody rides by this place, they say, boy, we can feel the Spirit. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I know tonight that when we're led by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, I love you and I thank you. Bless this time in Jesus' holy, precious name. And all of God's people say, amen. Brother.